Missouri's roads and bridges have a problem. We're not talking potholes and paint. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars worth of work just to keep them structurally sound and safe. And it's the dollars that are the issue, actually. Even when leaders agree on the need, they've struggled over how to pay for it. But for the first time in a long time, some of them have bipartisan hope that something might be done. I'm Brian Ellison, transportation and infrastructure, and maybe better days ahead on this episode of Statehouse Blend, Missouri.
The northbound Highway 291 bridge over the Missouri River is closed because of what MoDOT calls significant deterioration.
More than 100 bridges in the Kansas City area are in poor or critical condition.
Let's be clear, those reports aren't current. They're from 3 years ago. But not much has changed. In fact, here's one from 2013.
You know, when one of the kids brings home a C- on the report card, it usually catches your attention.
Well, that's the grade some engineering experts are giving to Missouri's statewide infrastructure, C-.
So if Missouri's infrastructure is getting an even worse grade than I did in high school physics, why haven't lawmakers come to some agreement on what to do about it? Well, one reason, how to pay for it. We're talking to two state representatives today, one Democrat and one Republican, who think this could be the year they figure that out. But first, we're taking a look at why Missouri has a rougher road than a lot of other states when it comes to raising money, even when there's a clear need. Something called the Hancock Amendment.
I think I'm old enough to remember when Missouri voters passed the Hancock Amendment, but I don't really remember what it's about.
That's KCUR editor CJ Janovy. She's helping us kick off something new here on Statehouse Blend, Missouri. We're answering your questions, and no questions too simple or too stupid, your questions about how state government works. The Hancock Amendment comes up all the time in debates in the Capitol, and last week CJ and I tried to better understand why this little bit of law matters so much for a potential gas tax increase or any other tax, which everyone agrees is the only way we're going to see more money go to roads. Article 10, Section 18 of the Missouri Constitution now, it's not even an amendment anymore, but it went in 1980, and it says basically that there are limits to how much the state can tax and limits to how much the state can spend.
Limits to how much the state can tax and limits to how much the state can spend.
So let's talk about the taxes first.
Okay.
So the thing that we usually talk about the Hancock Amendment for is the way it sort of ties the hands of legislators when it comes to the budgeting process. They can cut from the spending side, but they can't increase on the taxing side because they're not allowed to, at least not very much, just tens of millions, not the hundreds of millions, the billions that make up the budget. If they want to increase the tax in any substantial way, they have to go to the voters. They have to put it on the ballot. And the same is true, by the way, because of this amendment, of local government and of school boards and sewer districts. They all have to put it on the ballot if they want to raise taxes on Missourians.
Okay, so that's the taxing side. They can't raise taxes on us without our approval above a certain amount.
That's right. And then there's also these spending provisions. So according to the Hancock Amendment, the Missouri General Assembly cannot spend more than a percentage. It's like 5% of the total income of Missourians to fund state government. So if Missourians make more money over time, then theoretically the state could spend more on state government. But there's always this limit.
So do they figure it out, like the entire workforce of Missouri makes X amount of money every year, and then per the Hancock Amendment, they can only tax like 5% of that total?
That's right.
Do people think in general that these limitations, these restrictions result in good government?
Well, that depends on who you ask. There are certainly folks who think that the role of government should be limited. And so folks think this is a way to keep the government in line, to keep them from getting too big for their britches and collecting money and becoming tax and spend liberals and so on. But I will tell you that a lot of other folks, including some Republicans who I've talked with in the General Assembly, have kind of a problem with how the Hancock Amendment has played out. Having to advocate for taxes every time you want them changes the whole dynamic. And so what it means happens every year in the budgeting process is that nobody asks, hey, what do we want to do as a government And how much money will it take for us to do that? That is never the question that's asked. The question that is asked is, what can we cut to get down to these revenue numbers? Because there's no way we're going to try to raise the revenue.
So if Missouri, for example, wanted to completely redo I-70 through the state, you couldn't, you'd have to ask voters to fund that. And that's why we periodically have these referendums.
That's exactly
right. For things that some of us think government should be taking care of.
Right. Well, and I-70 is a really good example, because if there's anything that Republicans and Democrats alike agree on, it's that our roads and our bridges are in desperate need of repair. There's this big task force that's been working on this. A lot of people are proposing that a gas tax be imposed, or actually that the gas tax be increased, since Missouri's gas tax is really low. Which is fine, but that too will require the approval of voters. And so there is some question whether the legislators have the chutzpah to put that kind of measure on the ballot in an election year.
Thanks for answering my question, Brian.
Hey, CJ, thanks for asking it. And remember, if you have a question about Missouri government and politics, about the basics of how something works, send me an email, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at kcur.org, and maybe we'll answer it on an upcoming Statehouse Blend Missouri. Thanks, CJ.
Thank you.
Well, the Hancock Amendment and the need to put a gas tax increase before voters in order for it to happen is certainly a central factor for lawmakers who are thinking about improving the state's roads and bridges. Two of those legislators are Representatives Kevin Corlew, a Republican, and Greg Razor, a Democrat. They've spent most of a year on a task force that's looking into possible fixes of the state's infrastructure woes. They recently traveled across the state gathering research, listening to citizens. Kevin Corlew, who chaired that task force, says they asked one simple question.
Do they believe that our transportation system, our roads and bridges, are in the kind of condition that they would want for Missouri citizens, as well as that are safe and that provide the most economic growth and development opportunities? We heard from citizens throughout Missouri that they are not satisfied with the transportation system and they believe it should be improved. And then we also heard that they believe that we need more investment in our transportation. We fund our transportation at 47th in the nation in terms of revenue per mile, yet we're taking care of the seventh largest transportation system.
Greg Razor, this is not new. I have talked with legislators for 4 years now about transportation. Everyone agrees there's a problem. Everyone agrees it's underfunded. Never is a solution found. Do you think we're at a different place now?
I hope we're at a different place now. I think, you know, this task force, which was bipartisan, bicameral, it had people from around the state involved on it. You know, and I think if you go online and read the findings of the task force, you'll see a very level-headed, reasonable plan that does include a gas tax increase. I would add to what Representative Corlew said, that people aren't satisfied with the condition of the roads, the safety on the roads. I don't think that's an indictment on MoDOT, though. I think they do an exceptional job maintaining our 20th century infrastructure with the 20th century funding that we're providing them. And it's just time that we allow them to take us into the 21st century. That's what I think that was the conclusion in a nutshell of the task force and where we would like to see it go forward.
You mentioned the gas tax as one of the proposed elements of this, an increase to the gas tax. You're not the only one suggesting that. That's come up in some of the so-called tax reform plans that are being offered by other senators, sometimes in connection with tax cuts. Is that realistic to expect that the General Assembly in an election year is going to put on the ballot, which is what's required in Missouri to approve any tax increase, going to put on the ballot a gas tax increase even for something like roads?
So we've seen several proposals that come through the General – or it's been introduced in the General Assembly that does exactly what you said. That's, let's make this revenue neutral. We'll increase the gas tax and lower, say, income tax. That sounds great. The proponents of that will say we have a $27 billion budget. Surely we can find the money we need for roads out of that. What that fails to understand, it makes a great political talking point, but what that fails to understand is there's only about one-third of the Missouri budget, $9 billion, that we can use for whatever funds we see fit. A third of our budget is federal funds. We don't have a say on how it's spent. A third of it is, for example, the gas tax that goes directly to MoDOT, and we can't move it. The other third is income and sales tax. That's how we pay for K through 12 education, higher education, social services, and our state workforce, which, by the way, is the lowest paid in the nation. So when you hear those proposals of we will cut taxes but increase MoDOT, what they're saying is we're going to take from higher ed and give to transportation, and I can't support that.
Can you support that, Kevin Corley?
Well, I haven't seen all the plans. I'm certainly willing to enter that discussion because I do think it's important that we have as low tax burden as possible, but also making sure that we meet the needs of the state. And with the gas tax specifically, it's a user-based fee that people understand. I go and fill up my car with gas, and then I drive on the roads. I can see the nexus. And most Missourians are willing to put in, on average, about $5 a month more to make sure that we have safe and efficient and good roads.
And that's what this would be, $5 a month more.
That's the average, what comes out on a 10 and 12 cent increase. And the reason we chose the 10 and 12, by the way, is we do have a static excise gas tax at 17 cents. That has not been changed, 17 cents per gallon.
And that's no matter how much the price of gas is.
That's right. It doesn't change with inflation or market conditions. It's a static 17 cents and has been that way since the mid-90s. With inflation, what that means is now currently a 17 cents on a gallon only has the purchasing power of about 8 to 9 cents. So if you put in any type of inflationary adjustment calculator, what would you need today in today's dollars to have the equivalent of 17 cents in mid-90s? It's 27 cents. And so all we're asking for is that we would basically have an inflationary adjustment to our gas tax to bring it up and enable us to fix our roads and bridges the way that Missourians want to.
And that still doesn't make up for the last 10, 20 years where that inflation has been happening, but the funding hasn't been there.
Right. And, you know, Brian, we found on the task force that we really do have a sizable issue to deal with. We have about $825 million worth of unfunded priorities annually in terms of our transportation system.
What does that mean, unfunded priorities? Are you saying there's bridges falling apart that aren't being repaired?
We have over 3,000 structurally deficient bridges in Missouri. That puts us at the fourth highest number of structurally deficient bridges in the nation. We have roads that continue to be repaired. As Greg mentioned,
seems pretty scary to me.
This is an indictment. This is not an indictment upon MoDOT. I mean, a study came out just weeks ago that put them at ranked ninth in terms of cost effectiveness and performance. But when you only have so many dollars, you really have to prioritize. So that means that the bridges aren't getting fixed in a timely manner. Roads aren't getting built where they need to, and Missourians are suffering because of it.
And are we talking about like bridges in the far corners of the state where there isn't much traffic, or are we talking about I-70 and the Buck O'Neill Bridge and bridges that we all take around here every day?
We're talking about both. We all know about the Buck O'Neill Bridge, that bridge is at the end of its lifespan and it needs to be replaced. We're talking about the bridge on I-70. For those of you who travel over to Columbia or St. Louis, right there where you cross the river at Rocheport, mm-hmm. Is nearing the end of its lifespan. We're also talking about small bridges in rural communities. Those bridges matter as well. If you live on the other side of that bridge and need an ambulance and that bridge is out, it might take an extra 15 miles for someone to drive around to get to it. The school buses might have to drive around that bridge twice a day, every day, costing the taxpayers money. So we're talking about from our biggest, most traveled bridges to our smallest. It's all of that. I would also add to what Representative Corley was saying that MoDOT is doing a fantastic job. And for those out there who think, well, if we only got rid of waste, fraud, and abuse within MoDOT, I would point out the fact that just a few years ago, they laid off approximately 1,200 employees. They sold off hundreds of pieces of equipment, closed sheds, reorganized their districts to lower overhead, and put all of that into roads and bridges.
You both make this sound like it's the most obvious thing in the world. It's obvious that we need more money for our roads and bridges. It's a public safety issue. It's a common sense issue. It's a small amount of money relative to each person for a big payoff. Why on earth has this not happened yet, Kevin Corley?
Politics does play into this. People make decisions based on what they think would be best for their next election. People will express that they realize we have the need, but they will often talk about kicking it down the road, maybe doing it next year, and then next year comes, and they talk about doing it the next year. Now, I think Missourians really believe that transportation infrastructure is a very important thing, and will support that. But there are others that are fearful that whenever you talk about revenue, it may involve a tax increase, and they're fearful of that.
Greg Razor, you're in the super minority as a Democrat in the legislature right now. Do you see it the same way in terms of what's keeping this from getting done?
Well, I think what has happened is that over the years, the party in power in Jefferson City, the Republican Party, has told Missourians that all government and all taxes are bad in all circumstances. Sizable majority of their base has bought into that argument, which then when you really have to do something, when you really have to fix roads and bridges, it's hard to then turn around and say, well, except for this. We all need to be looking for efficiencies in government. There's no doubt about that. But there are some times when we just have to take care of our state assets. We have the responsibility to do that.
So there's still a little bit of politics in this. And speaking of politics, before we go, I want to ask some questions of you specifically, Representative Corlew.
Yes.
It has been widely reported that in the upcoming special election for Senate District 17, which is the seat vacated by Ryan Silvey when the governor appointed him to the Public Service Commission, that as the state parties are looking at the candidates to put on the ballot for that election, the Democrats have got a couple of names that are circulating, Representative Mark Ellerbrocht of Liberty and Representative Lauren Arthur of Kansas City. But there is only one Republican name that I hear circulating, and that is yours. Is it safe to say that you're interested in becoming the next senator from the 17th district?
Brian, I am interested in that because I live in the 17th and care deeply about the 17th district. Now, there has been a special election called to fill the seat that has been vacated by Senator Ryan Silvey. There's a process that will take place, and that is the central committees of the respective parties will choose a nomination. I'm having good discussions right now with our central committee members. I want to let that process take place and let them choose the nominee. But if so chosen, I would be grateful to be a candidate in that race and feel like I could effectively serve that district in the state senate.
The final report of the 21st Century Missouri Transportation System Task Force is up online. You can Google it. I used Missouri Transportation Task Force. What the legislature does with it, well, we'll find that out in the next few months. Statehouse Blend Missouri is a production of KCUR. Matt Hodapp produces the show. Don't forget to subscribe if you don't already. And if you missed our last episode where Kevin Corlew and Greg Razor weighed in on the indictment of Governor Eric Greitens, you should go back and listen to it. It's pretty interesting stuff. For Missouri politics news all week long, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at PTS Brian. I'm Brian Ellison. Thanks for listening.